Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Greetings, podcast listener. You're about to embark on another episode of the Guitar Nerds Podcast. This week, yours truly is off on holiday, so I've left ex-podcast host Mark Pack 'em in charge. So my advice to you is stop this episode now, switch on over to some 60s cycle hum, and wait until next week when I return. Well, if you're still here, I guess, well, here he is.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I'm your guest host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Hello there.
And Jay Cross.
All right.
Bit weird, isn't it?
Not really.
Feels a bit weird.
Does
to
it?
Me. Yeah, it does feel a bit weird.
It's been like
1 week since you looked at me.
Living room.
China, the Chinese chicken. You had a drumstick and you bring some
chicken. Watch the X-Files and the lights on.
Let down a maze on. Bust the rhymes. Thanks to the M rhymes. Because I'm all about value.
Can I help it if I think you're funny when you're mad? Trying hard not to smile though or feel bad. Can't understand what you mean with the same do. I have a history of losing my shirt.
If this is your first Guitar Nerds podcast, it isn't normally like this anymore. It's a bit less fun,
anymore.
I would say. You know, a little bit more regimented, a bit more hardline.
This is the first podcast I've been on with you since you left.
Yeah, it is, because I normally stand in for you when you're not around, and tonight I'm standing in for Joe Branton. Joe Branton's not around. He's on holiday. He's taking a well-deserved rest.
Well-deserved?
You know. Well, you know, all the stress that we've put him under by me not being on the podcast anymore.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, he's I don't know, on holiday somewhere.
He went to Wales, I think?
Barely a holiday.
We don't mean anything bad. Matt Knight does not mean anything bad by that, Welsh listeners. Matt Knight's words are not the thoughts of the Guitar Nerds podcast.
Limited. I always just say, nuke the whales. Not whales. Just.
Wasn't that a plot of Star Trek 4?
It's from The Simpsons.
Yeah. No, they don't nuke the whales. They have to save them. No, they need to take some whales back in time.
That's the one that...
That's not a real storyline.
It is. That's the one that's directed by Nimoy, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the long... Is that the Long Voyage Home? I think it's the Long Voyage Home.
It's just the Voyage Home, I think.
The Voyage Home, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the one after The Search for Spock, which is the one after The Wrath of Khan, which is the second one.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is it 4 that is the whales one?
I think so.
How many are there? Loads.
Including the new ones. 11 or 12, yeah. I think.
So, talking about Star Trek, I watched the first ever episode. Well, the pilot of Star Trek today, because I was like, I'm going to, you know, just when I have my lunch break, I'm going to just watch something. I just want a bit of consistency through my day. So I've started watching, I'm going to watch every episode of Star Trek ever. I've watched the Next Gen and I almost said the new class then. I've watched the Next Generation and Deep Space Nine before, but I've never watched the original series. So I started that today with the pilot.
Never watched it?
No. I mean, I've seen the old episode here
and there.
But yeah, I watched the pilot, which is called The Cage. Which is...
It's not good.
Captain Pike rather than William Shatner.
It really is a miracle that show got made after
Do you know the story behind that? The show was saved by American television star Lucille Ball, who was good friends with Gene Roddenberry, and she went, no, Paramount, you should give it another go. And that's when they produced the second pilot with Shatner.
I heard about that in... Have you seen the documentary that Nimoy's son did about Nimoy?
Yeah, really good.
Really good, and I think they talk about that in that. Another good... and yes, thank you for sticking through the Star Trek podcast.
Yeah.
Another good Star Trek thing to watch is The Captains. Have you seen that?
That's also really good.
It's really good. You've got all these serious interviews with like various members of people who've played the captain or the commander in Sisko's case throughout the years, and then it just cuts to shots of William Shatner just walking up in front of people at Comic-Con and getting in their way during photos,
because he presents the documentary, and there's just like bits of him wandering around at Comic-Con and being like, they're like taking a thing, and he'll kind of creep into the photo, and they're like, oh, turn around, and they're like, oh, get out, they're just loving it, loving life. Anyway, this is not the Star Trek podcast, but it's been a while since I don't talk to you guys anymore.
It's really good. I recently watched the episode.
People think we're actually mates, but this is really just a pretense for the podcast. I mean, I haven't seen Matt for about 6 months or something. It's crazy. Forgot what he looks like. Good
that
to
cute little pixelated face on the camera
I know. I must apologise if there's a drop in quality this week as well. Joe Brandon sorted out some sort of elaborate, like paper cup and a pulley system and that makes it all work now. And we're recording this a bit kind of old school. So
with our 100-year-old H6.
This is fine. Old Betty still rocking.
Still a classic.
It is.
Still recording the pods. So what's been going on this week, Matty? You got some new cool stuff in your office.
Yeah, I've got a new guitar.
Is it actually your guitar?
Yeah, well, it's mine and Jay's.
Right, okay.
I work with. Managed to help some people out. And we returned some favours, and now we're the proud owner of a Chapman Beer Baritone Pro, one of the best guitars ever made. I absolutely love that thing. It's probably my favourite baritone instrument I've played, like commercially available. Just the neck feels really nice because it's not gloss, it's natural finish, good sounding pickups, 5-way selector. It's just wicked. It's just very chunky sounding, but it also does the kind of stratty type stuff. It's a great guitar. So I spent a lot of the day sitting down, answering emails, playing that.
Oh, nice. Nice little Monday treat.
And then I think I'll take it home and never bring it back. thanks to the guys at Chapman for that. That was awesome.
That guitar ended up in our Gear of the Year, unsuspectedly, didn't it? Because they didn't submit that for Gear of the Year.
But they submitted the M1, I think?
Yeah, M1 Pro, I think.
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, it was me that said, I think the Beer Baritone is the one that should be rather than it being Joe, who you would have expected it to
but
be.
But also, at the same time, it kind of meant that it couldn't be a Gear of the Year product, it couldn't be a top five or whatever, because it's a baritone and it's like a little bit niche.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. It is very cool though. It's certainly my favourite of the Chapmans that I've played. I think it's really interesting, a cool spec.
Yeah, it's a nice body design. It feels good. It looks good. It's not too metal. I think you get a tendency now for baritone guitars to just look very metal. And if you don't want to do that kind of thing on it, then you're kind of like, it doesn't really feel right. It doesn't suit the kind of guitar that I like. It's got that classic look about it, but it definitely does the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I like them a lot. Well, Matty, next time we're with you, I'd like to have a bit more time on that guitar.
Absolutely. Maybe I'll bring it down.
Well, sometimes. I need to come up to you. I know we've been talking about this for a little while, but I've got a lot of soldering work that needs to happen. Have you got like a wiring harness for me, or was there?
We need to sort one out. Yeah. Because you've got a weird non-American built guitar, so the sizing and the spacing is all very different.
I don't think it is that weird though. I don't think it's that weird because I've bought some new hardware for that guitar, and it all just slotted in straight away. Okay. So
I've got a decent soldering iron, and I also just bought a mobile phone gimbal for some nice shots for guitar nerds and stuff. Yeah, for the old Instagram.
Nice.
Nice little tripod and stuff. So and you can mount, it's got space, so you can mount the Shure MV88 on it as well, so you can get decent audio recording at the same time. So I think, are we all attending the guitar show this weekend?
I'm not, because I'm not around. I've got some family stuff going on, but
I am. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so I'll bring it there and we can shoot some footage and it'll be much better than the shaky handycam footage of Joe Branton.
Absolutely.
Brandycam, more like, honestly. Yeah,
we've not really talked about it, but the guitar show is coming up in the Olympia in London.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. It's being billed as, you know, the sort of answer to UK guitar shows because, you know, we've been to a bunch over the last few years and... They're always really fun and you always meet some really cool people, but they are always kind of a little bit the same. So I'm looking forward to seeing if the UK guitar show is going to be as different as everybody on the internet is suggesting that it will be. I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be very fun. To be honest with you, I haven't really looked at the list of attendees. I know that we're going to be there. Fender's going to be there. We're going to have all our sort of new stuff there, showcasing a lot of stuff. So I would suggest if you haven't had a chance to check the player series out, you should definitely do that. I've sort of been thinking around what we are going to, speaking of gear of the year with the beer, I assume that we're going to probably put forward a one of the player series, and I'm really not sure which one keen to hear people's thoughts on what they think is the best of that series.
I mean, it can't win, obviously, because
why not?
Like nepotism.
You played those strats. Fantastic.
Yeah, they were really good. Really good. But I mean, even so, it's the rules.
I've given it away. The strat is what's going to be submitted because I think it's really good.
Okay. Interesting.
That's going to be. I think there's quite a few high profile guitarists going to be there as well. Yeah. Quite a lot of more. Obviously Fender are there, so there's bigger brands. Because a month later, it's the South London Guitar Show. Almost exactly a month later, I think. South of England.
The one that's actually called the London International Guitar Show.
Yeah, Liggs.
Liggs.
Yeah, you're right. The one at Kempton Manor.
Kempton Racecourse.
Yeah. We went to that last year. It was great.
I'm doing my prep for that this week.
Are you?
We're going to have a little reverb stand there. Can have some
So we can come and annoy you.
Yeah, can have some incredibly rare pedals on display. We're also, I can't mention it yet, but we're working on a little project with a UK builder to... do a little reverb exclusive pedal.
Is it...
I can't tell you.
Is it...
I absolutely can't tell you.
Is it...
can't tell you.
It's not like Joe Branton.
Is it Bob?
I can't tell you. I can't... I literally
is
cannot...
Is it Bob? Bob the Builder?
Bob.
Bob's
guitars.
I cannot tell you anything. It's going to be super cool, though. So, I'm doing prep for that this week. Lots of shows at the moment.
Tell me after.
No. Okay. I'm also going next week to Synthfest UK in Sheffield.
I would have said I'll come to that, but I'm not going to Sheffield.
No, exactly. That's the problem, is it's really far away. But it should be quite cool.
That'll be good.
Lots of cables and knobs and that.
Yeah.
I love synthesizers.
What's the deal with that? What's going on?
Just going to take some photos and stuff for the site.
And I'm interested in what the kind of semi-mainstream synth world is like. And I guess maybe you don't know.
I don't think it'll be mainstream in the slightest.
Right, so you think it's all going to be like small boutique builders?
So as far as I'm aware, it's like a mix of both. So for example, I was speaking to... the distributor for Maris pedals the other day. They are going to be there because Maris, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, but don't Maris also do some Eurorack stuff?
Yeah.
What you call 500 series.
Yeah.
Which is the preamps, a
lunchbox style.
Yeah.
So they're going to
vertical stuff as opposed to the horizontal.
Yeah. So they're going to be there as well. I think there's a real split, and I think it will even be old Bob who makes them in his shed, as well as building pedals. He builds synths in his shed.
Okay, yeah.
But then there'll be some bigger manufacturers. As far as I'm aware, there'll be some representation from Moog and brands.
Oh, okay, cool. Right,
maybe not Moog, but there are some big brands going. So
cool.
Yeah,
I will. I'll report back because it's very different for me.
Modular synthesizer world is massive. And stuff out there
again without bringing up reverb too much. We just put an article out literally about half an hour ago that was a guide to buying your first modular synthesizer.
Oh, that's really cool. I was listening to, I can't remember if I spoke about this last week, but I was listening to the Tone Mob from a couple of weeks ago, and Blake was saying how he is he feels like he's kind of circling the drain, getting into the world of modular synths is like he's sort of been fighting the current, and I feel exactly the same. I really feel like I'm about to just fall into the sewers.
The thing is, you don't need much.
No.
And you can buy complete systems, but there was that pedalboard company, and I met them at NAMM, or a modular company who made a guitar pedalboard, because the thing is, the line...
Yeah.
They run at line level, so they run much hotter than guitar signals. So if you plug a guitar in, they don't work. And they made this box that basically takes your guitar signal, jacks up super, super hot, so you can run modular through it. And, yeah, annoyingly, they stopped making it because no one really wants it. And I think they were just about 5 years too early, because I'm sure now someone's going to make a much cheaper, easier version. And then...
make it on it. Everyone's
going to want
modular. I do feel there's an element, like, I listen to a lot of computer game podcasts, and they're basically the same dynamic. People have the same conversation about, yeah, I was thinking about, like, getting an arcade cabinet. Like that. And then instantly it's like everyone else on the table goes, you really shouldn't do that. And I feel like I need to step in and see the same thing with you guys.
Stop us from falling down it. I mean, I've got a couple of those Roland boutiques, and I think they're great. I do kind of feel like I've got the wrong ones, though, because I cannot play keyboard at all, and I like play piano in the slightest, and really what I want is the synths that are less keyboardy. And I think maybe get, because I got the three original ones, so the Juno, the Jupiter, and the JX, and I feel like maybe if I'd waited and got like an 808 or a 909 and use that as a platform, I'd find it easier to get into it. I'm not sure. I think I just need to spend a bit more time.
Different
just, like,
thing though. They're drum machines.
Yeah, of course. But like,
just get one with 1,000 presets, and then that. I mean, that was, you know, not to go too much into the synth world, but that's obviously, in terms of synthesizers that changed everything, that's why they Korg sold so many micro Korgs.
Yeah, of course.
Because it had 100 wicked presets on it. It basically played itself. And if you couldn't play keyboards and you owned a micro Korg, you could still have a hit dance record.
just push one key, so, and it goes digga 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 digga. Yeah.
Well, that, because that was that whole part of, like, you know, like Enter Shikari and all those bands that came out at that time, where people were just like buying a micro Korg and then also plugging in like a high gain distortion pedal and going, if I play the same drop D riff but also play this micro Korg underneath, that's that whole new genre of music.
I was talking to someone at work this week about the fact that I saw Enter Shikari play at the Littlehampton Railway Club in like 2003. It was really stupid. I think I saw them there twice, actually.
They were rubbish.
They weren't good. No, I didn't. Awful. I didn't really enjoy it. They, you know, they've done all right for themselves, though.
They grow. They grow,
maybe
know.
I was wrong. Maybe I'm the bad guy.
Well, maybe. Talking about bits of kit and things that maybe we're not getting on with so well, I bought two pedals in the last couple of weeks, or last time, since I saw you. I know.
Oh, yeah, you bought an Ibanez one.
Let's buy new stuff. So I bought an Ibanez PH7 Tone Lock Series Phaser.
Yeah.
And I also bought, I didn't even think they were both Ibanez, a Tube Screamer Mini, because it was incredibly cheap.
They're really good.
Tube Screamer Mini. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. Why has no one said before, what you want is a Les Paul with humbuckers and a Tube Screamer? I mean, it sounds so obvious. No one's ever said that.
Nobody's ever said it to you, though.
No one's ever put that combination together.
I'm going to drop some science for you. The things that you need to buy, Les Paul with humbuckers and a Tube Screamer, because they sound really good. It's an unconventional approach.
The thing I like about the Mini is it's a TS-808, but it looks like a TS-9, which is like the better sounding in the chassis of the better looking.
It doesn't really look like a TS-9.
It looks more like a 9 than an 808.
I would say more it looks like an 808. More.
Really?
Yeah, it's different colour green.
I suppose. I think
it just looks like a Mini.
Tube screamer. I'm not getting on with that really well, and in fact I'm now in a bit of a quandary, because I've only got a tiny pedal board and I actually don't want to get rid of anything that's on there, and I can't fit the Tube Screamer on there, which is really upsetting. The Tone Lock Phaser, I'm not a huge fan of. I bought it because everyone was going on about, oh, these Tone Lock pedals are so good, and you know you literally cannot get the DE7 now, like that's hoovered up. They are gone. So PH7, it's all right. It's okay.
You hate Phaser.
Yeah.
The PM7, the phase modulator, that's the one.
Right. Yeah, the
that's got all the extra depth and speed controls, and then it's got the variable stages, so you can get some really like wicked, crazy rig modulator sounds.
The PH7 is fine as a phaser, but I feel it's no better than like getting a small stone or whatever.
Yeah, but surely it costs you half of what a small stone costs.
It was about the same money as a secondhand small stone.
So what, 30 quid? Yeah. You wouldn't have spent more than 30
quid
on a phaser.
It was about 30 quid.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I just bought it because everyone's been raving about this Tone Lock series and I'd kind of forgotten what they sound like. So yeah, I bought it. But maybe it'll stay. Maybe it'll go. Who knows?
Talking of new pedals, even though I got it a while ago, I actually finally got it back fixed thanks to... Cool. Adrian Thorpe at Thorpe FX rebiased my deluxe memory man, and it sounds absolutely wicked. It sounds so good. I'm just like, I forgot how good those pedals sound.
Isn't it a really old one that you've got?
It's a 90s reissue one, right, which has the original MN32005 chips in it, which are worth about 80 to 100 quid each just for the chip.
Wow.
And it's just this amazing analog delay, but it's also got analog chorus and vibrato in it.
Yeah.
So when you combine those two, and then it's the preamp is constantly active. So you've got this amazing, like, warm, rich preamp, amazing delays, and then an analog chorus that goes on top of that. And if you tweak it just enough, I've tweaked the gain control just enough so you can turn the feedback all the way up, but it never oscillates, but it gets to the point where it just like leaves this nice warm wash under everything.
Oh, that's cool.
So I haven't turned it off for 3 days. I just left it on.
Is that what that sound is? I thought there was something weird going on in the background in your house there, Matt.
Yeah, we're not actually using the old setup for recording the podcast.
Matt, why is your cat running up and down the ceiling?
Everything's a bit wobbly.
It's going to be wrong at Matty's.
Yeah. The crazy thing is I'm so glad that I just managed to get it so cheap because they are just going for ridiculous money now.
Yeah.
Same things like the D7 and stuff. As soon as someone or everyone in the community latches onto one pedal, the price just apps. Because, you know, same as DD5, like Boss DD5, they're like always well over 100, 120 quid now.
FRV1s, that's the one. When I look FRV, at those...
I mean, that is the one that has actually blown my mind.
Yeah,
I can't believe... 200 quid.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
200 quid.
It's ridiculous. I mean, they do sound fantastic. I mean, I don't think they sound great. 200 quid fantastic.
Do you know what I think the next one is going to be? And in fact, I think we even got a question about some gear that's like going to shoot up in price. But before we go into a deep dive, like the thing that I'm predicting, because of something that we'll talk about in the news... Boss SL20, the slicer. I can't believe that they are still at like an unsung pedal when there's all these like crazy modulations out there. The original, and some would still say the best, doesn't go for any money at all. You can pick them up so cheap and they're good.
Are they discon now, Matty?
Yeah.
That's it. Matty's dropped the bomb and the price is...
And what was weird is we don't really ever... sort of, we don't officially come out like some companies and say, we're never making this again. Because obviously you can still buy it in various places all over the world. And bizarrely enough, all of a sudden I had loads of emails from people just being like, can I buy this? Can I get this SL20? I'm like, what's everyone want an SL20 all of a sudden? And I actually bought from GAC when I worked there, the first SL20 that came in.
You bought
shop.
The first one, did you?
The first one. Yeah, me and Robin bought the first one.
Robin, ex-GAC employee.
Yeah, ex-GAC employee bought the first slicer that came in.
I just let people know.
For everyone else except for me and Mark who know who he is.
Yeah. So, that's my... If you want to, you know, if we're talking about, you know, making some money, making some big dollar these days, I'm telling you, put it all on SL20s.
Yeah.
Put it all on green.
Thing is, and in terms of... pedals that don't sound like anything else, there's nothing that really sounds like the SL20.
Well, no. And, you know, we're in this age now where, like, again, we'll talk about it in the news, but, like, crazy modulation pedals and, like, crazy tremolos and weird synth stuff is all the rage.
Yeah.
The SL20 does loads of that, and it's really unique.
Because you can actually, if you get an MD500, it's got the same... basically the same algorithm built into it, but you can program your own patterns. But this one obviously is sort of a little bit more fixed. But
did it have the because the thing on the SL20 that always got me was the fake surround sound.
Oh yeah, that's wicked. Yeah, that's got this has still got that 3D panning mode that isn't anything. Because I remember we had it set up with the two monitors, didn't we? And you can hear it like that, pan around.
That honestly blew my mind. That absolutely blew my mind.
Yeah, that's a reason to buy it just out of the just for
so
that.
If you
alone.
Run a stereo rig, that is. Oh, what you should do. I've just thought of it. Akai Head Rush.
It always starts with the Head Rush.
Into seven more Akai Head Rushes.
Into out four outs, each one into an SL20 in stereo.
There we go. That's that's the rig.
Into a Marshall MS20.
Yeah, 150 Marshall MS-20s. MS-2.
MS-2, sorry, yeah.
With that, talking about the news, we should dive into the news.
News.
So, first up this week...
Do you think that was long enough?
Yeah, that was a long enough gap.
Was it?
I mean, I don't do this anymore, so
I've got no idea. Joe sent us a really worried text saying, make sure you leave enough time for the jingles, and I've got no idea.
Is there a questions jingle?
Yeah, there's a questions jingle as well.
Okay,
fine.
We better leave some time for that then.
I think there's a questions jingle. To be honest with you...
I don't know.
I don't listen to it.
Well, what would be good is if we go...
You said that you listen to it.
Questions. And then there's no jingle for it. It would just leave a gap. That would be fantastic. First up in the news this week, something we just hinted at talking about. New pedal from Electro-Harmonix, the Mod Rex. Matty, tell us about it.
This thing is bonkers. Maybe this will eventually get discontinued and then everyone will go, God, one of those Electro-Harmonix Mod Rexes. I guess in a way it takes a similar thing to the slicer. It's four modulation units that can run in series or in parallel, I guess. So you've got modulation section, which is vibrato, flanger, chorus, or phaser, which can be inverted with different shapes. You've then got a tremolo with different divisions, a panner, and then a low pass, high pass, and band pass filter that can all run in stereo with different tempos and different divisions. It is a bonkers modulation unit. I don't really quite know what to make of it. I must admit the video, I think the problem is it does so much that they were just trying to like make all these weird and wacky sounds in the video. And I'm like, I think it's one of those things you might need to just try and just plug into your rig and do a load of random stuff with it. But quite cool if you just want something that you can just tweak and have an endless sound, you know, endless effects board of random modulation stuff.
It did seem like they're aiming it at because the video I think that we've all seen is their own video. I think they're trying to aim it at the kind of partly studio market because they run a drum machine through it, they run a synth through it, and a bit of guitar through it. So it's not this is a guitar pedal that does some crazy stuff. It's this is a processor that you can use in any of these circumstances.
They quite often do that though, don't they? They've been. Was it the like space station or whatever that thing's called?
No, it was like a TR-8, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, it was like a proper drum machine.
Oh, okay.
It sounded good. I thought it sounded pretty fun with that. You know, wasn't 100% convinced on the guitar sound side of things. It sounded really nice. But like you say, Matty, I think it's more a case of you need to get your hands on it and do with it what you would want to do with it to get
an
idea.
The thing is, they've got that Bill Rupert guy that demos a lot of the pedals. So he does like all the big muffs. You know, it's that work where you just see the guitar and him playing it. Every time he does a video, I'm like, I really want that pedal. Yeah. And every time they do a video with someone else, I'm like, meh.
Yeah,
that guy, the other guy, just has a way of like it's kind of like Andy from Pro Guitar Shop now Reverb. So every time you demo something, you're like, it's the right choice of song and the right choice of playing style. If it goes with the pedal, it sells it to you like instantly.
Yeah.
It's something that I think if I had this, I would certainly dive into it a little bit deeper and probably find some interesting stuff to do with it. And for people maybe looking for like the Moog stuff that's now discontinued, like the 12-stage phaser or the ring modulator or the delay, all those sort of pedals that are gone, this kind of covers a lot of that in one box that's much cheaper.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is quite an interesting unit for people who want to be a little bit more creative and, use it with other things like synths and and drum machines.
Yeah, I think it seems like a cool little thing. I'm really interested to see what people do with it, what people take it and do with it. Yeah. Jay Cross, talking about pedals and stuff, we've been talking about quite a lot of pedals this episode. If you've got a lot of pedals, finding an amp can be a problem. But Supro and Keeley have got a solution for you.
Yeah, how interesting.
Nice little partnership.
Yeah, really, really interesting. So Robert Keeley's teamed up with Bruce Zinke at Supro and have brought out the 1970 RK Keeley Custom, which is a 25-watt pedal platform. So they're really aiming this at, obviously, with Robert Keeley being involved. They're really shooting at the pedal market, and I think it's really, really interesting. So it's a 25 watt all tube amp, just a two band EQ, because they're expecting that you're going to be using drive pedals, you're going to be using EQ pedals, so you're going to have everything going in the front end. So they're keeping the EQ nice and simple. And then what I think is really interesting about this is, and it's something quite subtle, but they've actually got the effects loop on the top of the amp, as opposed to sort of, you know how quite often, most of the time the effects loop is on the back, and even sometimes it's like on the underside of the mounting chassis for the amp. So this is right on top. It's in between the EQ and the master volume. So you can see.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
See whereabouts it is in the chain, obviously, and it's just really easily accessible. I think it looks fantastic. It's got that sort of classic Supro look, and I'm really keen to hear this, because I think it will be really, really cool. It's a really interesting concept. I think that you've got Bruce Zinke there and Robert Keeley, so two of the sort of behemoths of the modern guitar world, and keen to check this out.
Yeah, I think
I think the thing that shocked me most is the fact that it's $799.
Absolutely. I should, of course, I can't believe I didn't mention that. It's really cheap.
It's one of those things where you think, like, the if you'd have seen the article and it said $1,499 MSRP.
This must be one of the cheaper Supros, let alone anything else.
I think recently, especially in the UK, there was a lot of Supro that came in, and a lot of dealers were like, where there were certain models that were like half price.
Yeah.
And I think some of the amps were basically just over, you know, 1500, and I think it was a bit too much. And I think that they're obviously a legendary brand that have been reborn, and you kind of got to build your way back into the market. And I think if you go too high, people just like it's weird, because they're not boutique enough, as it were, to be a boutique brand. They've got so many models, they're a little bit more of a commercial brand, but they're just that slightly higher price.
Totally,
but then some of the little heads they make, they look absolutely wicked. Like I saw some at Summonam. I was like, man, these are great. There was one that they do. It's like an 8-watt head. I think it's exclusive to Sweetwater. That you can output the reverb as its own signal.
Okay, so send it out to a separate amp or something.
And just the reverb. So you can record in stereo into a desk straight from the head. So you can get like 100% wet reverb sound and then the dry sound. Right.
They did that in a combo last year. I can't remember which one it is. I'm just going on the website now.
Yeah, I think it's part of their legendary series, the 1605R reverb.
That sounds right. I remember it coming out, and I remember us trying to decipher from the press release just exactly what they meant.
Yeah, I remember talking about it and being incredibly confused.
Yeah. But I didn't realize they'd done it in a head as well. That's really cool.
Yeah, I think I've got a feeling the head may be exclusive to a dealer. Maybe not. But the head's wicked. 5 watts, class A, single channel, just pulling up the back panel. Yeah, so you've got a mix out, reverb out, and a dry out.
Yeah.
You can run, bizarrely, 2 4-ohm cabs and 1 8-ohm cab. And then there's a power amp input as well. So I think you can bypass the preamp section and just use it as a 5-watt power amp.
Really, really weird little setup.
I don't know if you guys talked about it while, you know, I haven't been on the podcast and stuff, but they've now done the David Bowie signature guitar as well.
Yeah, I think we talked about it last week, or maybe
it's been out for a little while. It's been out for a good few weeks.
Oh, well, I remember because they had it at NAMM. They had it at Winter NAMM, I think. I'm sure I saw it at Winter NAMM, but they definitely had it at Nashville. It looks, you know, really weird.
Yeah.
Really, really weird. But very cool. But yeah, I tell you, just going back to the 1970 RK, what seems to be quite interesting here is it's actually only, as far as I can see, it's only for sale on the Keeley website. They don't even appear to have it on the Supro site.
Right.
So yeah, really, really interesting. So keen to see what goes on here. Keeley partnering with, I mean, obviously Keeley has been doing his thing by himself for a long time now, and there's been a few pedal collaborations here and there. So, but really interesting to see what goes on with this with amp collabs.
Definitely. Last piece of news this week comes from Ibanez, who have just announced the brand new
Tone Core series.
No, RG550 reissues. Two colors, I believe, a kind of yellow and a, what is it, like red, kind of peach colour. The reason that this came on my radar is we did a bit of a kind of little feature. There's a purple as well. Did a little feature on the Reverb site. And just reminded me, like, RG550 is the best guitar that Ibanez have ever made. Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. Great guitar.
And, you know, it really is that kind of legacy of kind of hair metal. I think that's the one guitar for me that's really stood the test of time, the RG550.
Yeah. So the new ones, are they made in Japan?
Yes, they are.
Ones. So yeah, I'm just checking on the website. So I think they're doing all original colours.
Oh yeah.
So Desert Sun Yellow, yeah. Road Flare Red, Purple Neon, and White. There were a couple of other colours. There's an Ibanez wiki page, which is really good, and I think they did a bunch of, there was definitely a pink at one point, and I had one of these that was just absolutely just totally destroyed that I picked up secondhand for no money.
I remember that.
Yeah,
that was a long time ago.
But it was missing everything, and actually a friend of mine who works at a studio in London still got his original one that he bought in America in 88 when he went to GIT in LA, and it's like no paint left on it. He like shaved one of the horns down. Do you know what? The neck is still as it was, and it's just so played in. It's just the best guitar ever. They just resonate really well. The pickups aren't too metal. The neck feels super easy to play despite it being super thin. Yeah. Great guitar. I'm so glad they've done a proper reissue. A big guitar I'd definitely be interested in.
And again, not a huge amount of money considering, you know, quite often when you think of sort of Japanese built Ibanezes, you think, okay, well, this is their premium range. They're less than a grand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really interesting. Really, you know, really interesting.
When I spoke to Joe Doe, so the chap from Joe Doe Guitars, talking about like that Pac-Man guitar that he'd made that we did some video content on for Guitar Nerds, and there's pictures all over the internet. He said the hardest bit of doing that entire guitar wasn't like sourcing the arcade machine parts or like, you know, even coming up with the idea. The hardest bit, because he was basing it on like an 80s Super Strat, he wanted to get the same finish that you get on an Ibanez neck. And he said the hardest bit of building the entire guitar was trying to figure out how they do the finish on Ibanez necks and copy the technique for that. Just the finish of them.
Oh, right.
And he said, you know, it must be some sort of oil rub because they wear in really easily. And he said that he looked at like a ton of old like RG550s and things like that, and where they've got this kind of oil rub neck or whatever they do, the necks just wear amazingly. And even if the rest of the guitar is like totally fresh, and he wanted to get exactly that. And he said it was so different from how he would normally finish another guitar neck, that was the hardest part of that
interesting
build. I might buy an RG550.
What color?
I'm trying to get an old pink one, I think.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah, yeah, that's a shame, isn't it?
If not, the purple one's pretty rad.
Yeah, I actually like Road Flare Red.
Yeah, that's pretty cool as well. Yeah, super nice. I mean,
there's got to be some good ones. Once again, I think if you want something like that, you just have to sit on Reverb and or eBay for a very long time until the right one comes up.
Just wait. And then just sit and wait. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because I think it's too easy. Sometimes it's just, and you know, I've certainly done it before, it's too easy to just like rush in and find one. Just, I'm going to buy it. And there's always one that comes up eventually and you're like, that's the one.
Yeah.
And also you have to be careful to make sure that you get an old one, because there are some like more modern reissues.
These brand new ones they've just announced?
No. There's like some, I think there was some 550s or 550 MZ.
Yeah.
Which was like the early 2000s one that wasn't made in Japan.
Right.
That looked basically identical. But the good thing about them reissuing is that it will affect the price of these ones. There's a couple of old Japanese ones for like £500 to £800 if you really want to go for an old one, but I think these new ones will probably be equally as good.
Yeah, definitely. That's all the news for this week. It's pretty slow news week, which is good because I put it to the group that we should answer a whole ton of questions.
Questions.
I really hope there is a jingle in there because otherwise that's just going to be weird.
I'm pretty sure there's a jingle.
There must be a questions jingle. Come on. There must be.
Otherwise, if
I
not...
I do listen. I literally do listen every week. I just think that I've blocked out the jingles now.
If not, Joe, and you know, feel free to edit this out. Questions or something.
Yeah, yeah. You're right there, Matty. Do a little yawn in the background there.
I'm just doing a little yawn.
Little yawnage. we're going to dive in some questions. I tell you what we don't have on this list for the podcast is the Patreon names. So if you've got some way of finding out what they are, that's that'd be good.
I'll look on the internet.
Good. So first up, Tyler says, suggestions on a more affordable alternative to a deluxe reverb. Not the Princeton, because I don't like an 8-inch speaker. Matt Knight.
Princeton's got a 10-inch speaker.
Yeah, so if he wants a 10-inch speaker, how about this Supro? Did he not listen to the early part of the podcast? it's a weird one, because the deluxe, especially the... Which one am I thinking? The Blackface reissue, so the early 60s one, not the 68, has just got this sound that I don't think many things come close. And it depends how much money you want to spend, realistically. And I'm guessing if you want deluxe reverb, you want the vibrato, because that's a big part of it.
No, I don't think so. I think the big part of it is just the fact that it's a big, you know, it's a boomy, clean amp with, you know, a not huge wattage. That's what I think. I mean, maybe, but I'd be surprised.
Well, I guess if money's no object for a second, then I've been checking out Rift amps recently.
Matt, money is clearly an object. That's literally the entire point of this question.
He said an alternative. He might just not want that speaker.
He did say an affordable alternative.
Well, you know, it depends what his class of affordable is. Because there's plenty of people like you know, Rift making Deluxe 22. They're a lot more money.
Yeah, more money than a Deluxe, more money than a 65 Deluxe.
There isn't any. I wouldn't have said there's anything in the same.
No,
affordable range as that.
In fact, I think we answered a question similar to this last week or the week before, where I basically said, well, the only real option is a Blues Junior.
Well, this is the thing. Or, it's like,
if not that, then a Hot Rod Deluxe.
That's what I'm saying. Is the vibrato something? Because if he likes the Deluxe, it could be that he does really want the vibrato. And then you are a lot more stuck.
Surely you can recreate that with a pedal, though. There must be some way you put something nice in the effects loop. What about the old Earthquaker Aqueduct? That sounded pretty nice when we heard it.
Yeah, but it's not affordable, is it?
Well, no, sure. That adds to the cost as well. So,
and yeah, you need to find something because obviously the old Deluxes don't have an effects loop as well. You don't really want to run it into the front end.
Yeah.
Because obviously also part of the charm of an old Deluxe is cranking it and sort of on that verge of breakup as well. But what you can do is a lot of people buy those and then mod the baffle. So there's a few people out there doing like the baffle mod, so you can put a 12-inch speaker in it instead. That might be worth something looking at.
Yeah,
if he doesn't want the small speaker.
It's tough when you're talking about these iconic amps but you want to go more affordable. Because generally, you know, what people do is they take that and they go, right, how can I make this better? Okay, I'm going to hand build it. I'm going to make it in, you know, the US or the UK. I'm going to use better components. And it's always going to be more expensive. Whereas if you say, oh, I really like this amp and I want it to be as good, but is there anything a bit cheaper? It's like, well, no. The answer generally is no.
Yeah, yeah.
Could
buy
a Katana.
Well, I mean, the thing is that I think really the only, if you do want to go budget, the only real options are going like Katana or going for like a Champ 40. Like, you know, the Champ 40s, well, the Champion Rage as a whole have kind of become a little unfashionable.
Because they're just solid state.
Because they're solid state amps and they're kind of the same as they have been for a long time. But I tell you what, if I don't know if you've played one recently. They do sound really good.
I haven't played
one. They do sound really good. And I think, you know, if you do want to go down a cheaper route, then have a look at a Katana, have a look at a Champ and see what works. Or get Deluxe Reverb because they're really good.
Yeah
I mean, the alternative is... Use some sort of website like eBay, the best website for buying secondhand gear.
No.
Gumtree's really good as well, Matt. Have you heard of Gumtree?
I don't hear this abuse. Facebook Marketplace.
Facebook Marketplace, fantastic. And actually, for our US listeners, there's this website called Craigslist. It's really good.
You guys,
I think you generally pronounce it Craigslist. So, but yeah, one of those, really good.
Unbelievable.
Why Craigslist? It's not spelt with an E and a G.
Listen,
like Greg's.
If we are talking about the...
list every Greg's within a 20-mile radius.
If we are, you know, talking about the past, talk about eBay, Gumtree, you can find guitar nerds on Friendster.
Andy Carroll's Bebo page made it onto the internet.
If you want to talk about the past, you can certainly do that. next up, let's take a question from... Simon, who says, when using an electronic tuner, do you tune to the initial pick note or wait until it settles down? Matt Knight.
That's a good one, actually. Because the thing is, I guess pick constantly. Because if you keep hitting the note, it's more likely to sit in the middle rather than if you just pick it and then let it settle, it will settle and then go flat. So just use a really quick, reliable tuner.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that is one thing. What I would always do is tune the string flat anyway and then tune it up to pitch so that it has time to kind of pull through the nut and then settle in. You know, I never actually tune to the pitch. I tune under and then retune it again above, if that makes sense.
I've also, because I really only play at home, totally stopped using a tuner pedal.
That's Matt Knight.
I just use a clip-on tuner.
Well, that's fair. I thought you were going to say you just don't tune. Just no point.
No, I just use a clip-on tuner.
I thought you were basically saying, well, I play at home. I play ambient music. There's basically no point my guitar being in tune anyway, so I've just don't use a tuner anymore.
Yeah, no, I just use a clip-on tuner. So, and plus, if I take a pedal tuner off my pedal board, that's just one more space for a pedal, right?
Then you could just have more crazy ambient effects.
Yeah, or if I break my tuner pedal so it just outputs at a the actual pitch of what I'm tuning to.
Yeah.
Don't even need to play guitar at that point.
Just random tone generator. Replace the tuner with a random tone generator.
The only problem I've got with the random tone generator is there's no volume control and it's super loud.
It's just wild.
So it's way louder than anything else that you plug into it. So yeah. But my tuner does have fun trying to keep up with the random tone generator.
Yeah, I bet it does. Let's take one that's a bit more random, talk about random things. Stuart says, you're all stuck on an island with no food. Who'd you eat first and who'd you save for last? I mean...
Two of us are vegan, so...
Yeah, but I mean, if you had to.
So you just find a coconut?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll be like... Castaway, where I'm just eating coconuts.
Let me set the scene. All the coconuts plus potentially livestock on the island have been eaten. We're all sitting around campfire
looking at each other.
We've all got a vote. First vote, Matt Knight, who's your first? Who goes first?
If you ate Joe Branton, at least you'd be pissed afterwards.
Yeah, we've been stuck on a desert island for 9 months. We all take one bite out of Joe Branton and the rest of us die of alcohol poisoning.
This meat's been marinated for 18 years in rum. Yeah, so I'd probably go Branton first because, you know, to get over the shock of consuming your first human meat, you'd be incredibly drunk at the same time. So I'd say Branton first.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably Branton.
I like part of the question is who would you eat last? Surely
you'd eat yourself last.
Yeah, whatever you say, it would be you.
No, I reckon what would happen is we would all eat Branton first, and then
we'd figure out like we'd just a payphone over
absolutely.
There.
Nothing of value was lost.
Branson first, obviously, 100%, 100%. And we are going to do, I should mention in the Patreon, talking about desert islands, I thought we could do a round of desert island discs. Thought we'd, like, in the Patreon episode, we'd pick 5 songs and a book and a luxury item each, talk about why that we'd have them on our desert island. And it was basically like guitar. We're basically just doing Desert Island Discs in the Patreon.
I subscribe to the Desert Island Disc podcast, and I have been a subscriber to the Desert Island Disc podcast for, I don't know, probably 18 months, and I don't think I've listened to a single one. Because every time it comes up, I'm like, oh yeah, I listened to that. And I'm just like, no, I'm not going to listen to that.
Yeah, it's quite long. It's like 2 hours or something, isn't it?
That's too much.
Crazy. But that's coming up in the Patreon. Now, John says, predict the gear that is currently bargain bin pricing will soon be mega bucks in years to come.
I've got one. Boss SL20.
Is there anything else? We already talked about that a bit in the episode. Matt, is there anything else that you've kind of got your eye on that you think is going to be worth mega money in a couple of years' time?
The weird thing is I like buying old Boss stuff, and all the old Boss stuff is just going up in ridiculous prices.
Yeah.
I was actually trying to think of stuff that I bought that I've seen go up and then I've had to buy again because I wanted it and I missed it. So I just bought a DOD Vibro Thang.
Oh yeah.
Which the first time I bought for £30 and then this time I had to buy for £70 because that's how much they're going for now. So that's actually quite a cool pedal. I think the DOD Gonculator reissue that they went, everyone wants a Gonculator. Look at the second-hand prices. Then no one bought one. Then they discontinued. Everyone's like, God, they've discontinued the Gonculator. Got to buy one now. I think that's the best tactic that any pedal company can make is just bring something out, then just discontinue it straight away.
First day, discontinued.
discontinued.
Also, yeah, but now like DOD are not making pedals anymore. So it's, you know, there's never going to be a Gonculator ever again.
Yeah.
So you have to get it. Yeah, I'm saying, do you know what I reckon? Digitech Bad Monkey. People will come around and they'll be like...
No, there's too many of them.
No, there's not that.
I think
that's
the thing.
There's too many of them.
I reckon that's good money.
Yeah,
that.
But I think a lot of people have got them, probably that 50% of them still play and it's sat in a drawer somewhere, and the other half bought one as their first pedal and then now it just sits in the loft.
Yeah.
So and I think Digitech Synthwar...
Yeah,
there's too many of them. There's too many of them out there for them to be worth anything.
Digitech Digi Delay, the X series delay, that basically
the next one to collect the X series.
Yeah, if you put in two, because I think it takes. Does it take AA batteries. It's something weird. Maybe it is just a normal 9-volt. If you put a battery in there, you get maybe 15 to 20 minutes play out of it, and then it's like, no, definitely not. You have to use a power supply with that pedal. Absolutely ridiculous.
It's a weird one, because with pedals, there's so much out there now. It's difficult to kind of go, you know, on a lot of the things I follow on Instagram and on Facebook, there's pedal brands. I see at least one pedal brand every day I've never heard of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People are like, oh, these pedals are great. I'm like, never heard of that brand. So there's a lot of stuff like going up in value that's like, I don't know, that there's a lot of hype around when it comes out, but then they never really come up on the market, so you don't really ever see them, you know, there's no chance for them to go up in value. So I think there needs to be a certain amount out there. It needs to be something like a Bad Monkey where they made a lot, and then all of a sudden when you want one, there's not a single one to be found.
Yeah, I think it's so hard to predict. It's so hard to predict because, you know, who would have said a year ago that, you know, the Boss Fender Revo pedal would be tons of money? You know, we would all said, oh, no, we've still got them in stock. We can't get rid of them. We're trying to flog them for 50 quid or whatever. Yeah. And now they're 200 quid worth.
And also, a lot of the times with these sort of things, it just takes someone to use one and it be, I guess, before it was being used in a song somewhere and everyone's like, oh, to get that sound, you have to use this particular pedal. To now there's a particular YouTuber. So when I was out in Japan, I was talking to Dan from That Pedal Show, who wanted a DD2 or a DD3 because it's got the big delay chip in it there from the SD3000 rack. And I was like, you know, if you buy a DSD2, which is the digital delay sampler, it's got the same chip in it. It's just got a trigger input for the record. So he bought one. He's like, oh, I'm going to talk about it on That Pedal Show. And I was like, yeah, you've probably just doubled the value now. Yeah. Thanks for that.
You should have bought.
So I think just takes someone, you know, on fairly popular social media to go, oh, look at this. It's like DL4s and things like that are going back up in value. And they make loads of those. They're still a current product.
Yeah.
And they still hit like secondhand the same value they hit new.
Matthew, we need to decide on a pedal that we're going to make skyrocket in value and then just like promote everywhere that it's really good and go on loads of podcasts, but you and I have bought 100 of them.
Yeah, we'll just buy loads, like trying to get every copy of Speed on VHS.
Yeah, exactly that. We'll just drive around the sort of west coast of the US in a minivan filled with
Boss SL20s.
Yeah, Boss SL20s or Vestax delay pedals. I listened to the podcast, I couldn't believe you didn't know who Vestax were.
When I Googled it, I was like, oh, right, yeah, sort of like DJ. But this is the thing. It's like, this is a guitar. This is one of the best chorus pedals I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It's absolutely bonkers. I'm like, who would have... I can't imagine a DJ ever using that.
No. Well, yeah, I don't know why they branched out into guitar pedals, but apparently they did. But yeah,
But this is like a rack, but it's not even a half rack. And it doesn't even take normal rack mountings. It's like a tiny modular thing.
Very weird.
That powers off a 9-volt. It's totally bizarre. Best 30 quid I've probably ever spent on a guitar product.
Very weird.
And speaking of that, I saw a tweet the other day that said something along the lines of the closest a human will ever feel to being a ghost is when they're listening to a podcast and someone on the podcast says something that you know the answer to.
And
like,
they don't.
You're trying to yell through them. Space and time. And
I could have just texted you, but I couldn't be bothered. I was a bit busy. With that, we should wrap this up. Thanks for bearing with us for this hour-ish of nonsense. I've kind of forgotten how to do the podcast, so sorry if it's been a bit shonky this week. If you do want to hear more, we're going to go and do our Desert Island Discs episode over on patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $1 a month you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad free and early, and $5 a month gets you an extra half an hour each week. At $10 a month, you get your name read out by J. Cross.
If you're lucky.
In a way that he's...
So I'm trying to find it.
So here's a little secret. We normally, or when I was doing the podcast, I'll email through the list of Patreon backers every week.
Where do you get it? I don't even know where you get it. I'm just looking at the back end of Patreon. Do you know where you get it from?
Yeah.
Is it under patrons?
Yeah, I think it probably would be there.
And then relationship manager?
Yeah, something like that.
I was reading the exit surveys recently.
I know, yeah.
Very interesting.
If you ever leave and you fill out the exit survey.
Oh, we know.
We know who's written
them. We know.
It says they're anonymous, but we can find out.
Oh, we know.
We can absolutely find out who's done it.
No, that's not it. Oh, view all current patrons. There it is. Oh, no.
Oh, what?
Current patrons.
Right,
there
good.
It is.
This is not the most professional thing we've ever done, but bear with us. I wouldn't blame them if they turned off now, but if you are paying for this, you know, you probably should, you know, stick with it to hear your name filling for time.
I'm doing what I can. I've got to be honest.
Trying to
it's gone.
Find the
manager?
Yeah, manager. That's the one. This is not the most exciting
view
end.
Current
Will
patrons.
Jay, this is tense, though. Will Jay actually get to the list?
List of patrons, 10-plus tier. They're not in the right order, though. Good Lord.
Oh, no, this is going to shake it up a bit. Can you do it, though, do you think?
In one breath?
Not in one breath,
absolutely
mate.
Not. Okay. I also, it doesn't have... Oh, and there's some people who don't want their names read out. Oh, no.
Well, there's only one who doesn't want his name read out. You know who that is.
I'll, Blake Wyland, Blair Toms, Adrian Day, Ken Sayers, Matthew King, Ethan Jebediah Bartier, Stephen Comrady, Scott Hamilton, Marion Peters, Golden G, Richard III, Sean Albrow, Christopher Wolfman Cuthbertson, Ryan McDermott, Robert Cousins, Nate Nagel, Tugger Amadon, Rob Gruhl, Ernie Cooper, Robbie Carter Grant from, but not limited to, the 70s, exclamation point, Ryan Darnell, Emery James Baker, Christoph Raptisch, Dave Lee, Matt Roberts, Juan, Martin Cliff, Matt Bellamy, Aaron Sherman, Jake Gray, Christopher Luzeth, Scott Kennedy. How does he do this in one breath? Robin Smith, Rob Norvik, Derek Rich. I nearly said the geezer who doesn't want his name read out, but I did it. It's fine. Chris Connors, Andy Joyce, Carlos Mancha, Stephen Joseph Merkel, I, aspiring intermediate guitar player. Oh, I think that's meant to be the first. Mark Cross, Brad Page, JD Shaw, Andy McKenzie, Laurie Ansis, Paul Corrigan, Will Clare, Phil Tomzit, Moo Gravett, and of course, Colin Anderson.
There we go. That was exciting.
I don't know if there's some new names there, or maybe there's people
there
that we haven't been
there,
reading
I out.
I think maybe people have gone in and changed their names for them to be longer. And
they have. But they're also, like, there wasn't...
Maybe we should get him to read from that list every week.
I think that's the right list anyway.
Well, if not, some people have got a freebie there, and let's hope we didn't miss anyone. If you want to hear more of this nonsense, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. You can also go to Twitter @guitar nerds, Instagram @guitar nerds. Thanks for bearing with us this week. And yeah, I probably won't be here next week. This is going to be my last one ever after this shocking end. See you, I don't know, see you on the internet somewhere. Bye.
Live long and prosper, bye. My dudes.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.